Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, did you know that you are on a mission from God? I mean, did you know that? I hope you do. Now, this is very true if you are a follower of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are on a mission from God. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, but you're listening to this message for some reason, please know that you're invited to be a part of God's work in the world, but it's optional for you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, you are on a mission from God, and it is part of what God wants for you to do with your life is to embrace that mission. Now, the reality of being on a mission from God is something that we need to take seriously, but also carefully in consideration. Because when we think and we know we're on a mission from God, we have to make sure that we are actually striving for what God wants for us and what God wants for the world. Because some of the most dangerous and some of the most awful things that have happened in our planet, in our history, have come from people who think they're on a mission from God and take that as license to do whatever they want, to do some of the worst atrocities in history, to make sure that people are living how they want them to live and not how God wants them to live. And so when we hear that we're on a mission from God, we need to make sure that we understand what that mission is so that we can pursue that and pursue that alone. Which all of this is why it is super important for us as followers of Jesus to make sure that when we talk about the mission of God, that we are returning to the mission that God has given to us as described by Jesus, as commissioned by Jesus. If we go back to anything else, then we're going to come up short and might pursue something that is destructive and not something that is constructive. Now, when we think about the mission that God has given to us, the one that Jesus has put us on, we need to remember that it comes to us in a charge from Jesus. Jesus wants to love God and love others and help people become followers of Jesus. That also means that we want to testify to God's love and serve those in need. Now, that's the mission that God has given to the church. That's the mission that God has given to any local church, and that's what all followers of Jesus, we want to be about. Now, some of this might be just a restatement for some of you that are familiar with the more classic forms of this, which is to love God and love others, to make disciples of all nations, to be Christ's witnesses, and serve those in need. And I offer the other version of this because sometimes we need to restate things in ways that kind of make more sense in words of today. But it's the same thing that maybe you've heard for a long time. But I fully realize that even when we just say these things, they can still feel abstract. They can still feel sort of like just jargon that we use to describe activities so that we know what's going on. Or rather, we think we know what's going on. But the reality is that when we put these things into action, we actually look at the world and see concrete ways that we can do these things. The ways that followers of Jesus have been putting things into play in this way have been really important for a very long time. And as we find our way forward in these things, we can see exactly what it means to embrace this mission as followers of Jesus today. The other side of this is that there is a lot that can be included in what it means to pursue God's mission as a church, as part of the church universal, as a part of any local church, and our church, Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. Now, the hope is that we are in collective, over time, embodying all of the mission. And the hope is that when we do look back on what we've accomplished and what we do, that we see together that we are really fulfilling what God wants for us. And I'm so proud and so honored to say that many times and a lot of the time, I think that our church is actually achieving God's mission to the world. But the reality is that there is so much more that God wants us to do, and the world needs more people pursuing God's mission all the time. God needs every single one of us who's a follower of Jesus to do our part as the church to fulfill God's work in the world and to pursue this. And the reality is that we need you to be a part of doing God's work. We need you to be a part of pursuing God's mission for the church. We need you and what you can do to help pursue what God wants for this world. And the reality is, we need you because you provide something unique. We need you because if you don't do it, maybe nobody else will. And if you don't do it, maybe we won't do it as well as we could if you were helping. Or maybe somebody will slide into a spot that they shouldn't be in, and then it won't go as well as it could either way. And that's why it's so important for us to, one, know what the mission is, and two, understand that each one of us is called to be a part of it. Now, one of the problems that occurs is that when we don't do what we can do, when we don't serve in the ways we need to serve, we can find ourselves pulling other people into spots to serve where they maybe aren't supposed to. And then it doesn't go well for them, and it doesn't go well for the people that we're serving. And this very problem is something that is very normal, and it is something that has gone a long way to be an issue for the church for a very long time. And actually, it's one of the challenges that surfaced in those very early days of the church. Now, when I say the very early days of the church, I mean in those weeks or months that followed right after when Jesus was going about doing his work in the world. When Jesus was then resurrected from the dead and had gone back to God, he commissioned the people to be doing what needed to be done. And in those early days, they were being super successful. It says in the text of the book of Acts that records much of the history of those early days that they were growing. They were growing by a lot. Many people were coming to join them. It says that they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, to fellowship and prayer. And they were meeting the needs of anybody who was joining their community. And so you can imagine why they kept growing, because they were doing something amazing. And they were sharing this story that Jesus was indeed the Messiah that the people of Israel had been waiting for, and that he had brought salvation not just for the Jews, but for all people. Now, the success they were having was tremendous, and we can see what was happening is that more and more people were joining, but also more and more different kinds of people were joining. And in fact, actually, over time, they started really bringing in a diverse group of people. Now, there was a problem that then developed in the early days, which was there was a distribution of food that wasn't happening as it needed to. And this is where we can see how important it is for people to step up into the roles that they can play so that others can do what they need to do. So what was happening is that there were two groups of widows that were getting food. There were the Hellenists and the Hebrews. Now, the Hellenists were Jews that spoke Greek. These were more mainstream people who had maybe become more comfortable with the Roman Empire and were seen as a little less than maybe by some Jews. And then there were the Hebrew Jews who spoke Aramaic or maybe even Hebrew, and they were considered maybe the more favored or the better ones. But what was happening is that the Greek-speaking widows weren't getting the food they needed, and the Hebrew-speaking widows were getting the food. And the advocates for these ladies said, hey, this can't keep going. We can't have this be the problem as it is. Now, of course, nobody wants there to be an unequal distribution of food. And so the 12 disciples, who were the leaders, and the 12 disciples, by which we mean the 11 people that followed Jesus, those particular men, and then the 12th that was added to replace Judas, they came to the community and told them about this problem, and then they brought this to their attention. What they told the community is, we should not neglect our role teaching and leading so we can wait on tables. Now, when we hear this, that might sound a little elitist and a little condescending. And it may be, but the reality is what the disciples were saying is that we have a role to play and we need to play that role and others need to play their specific role. Now, if you're reading this, and this is why you have to read closely and not go too fast, even if you're reading this in a hard copy or even on an electronic copy of the Bible, you'll see that there is a footnote there in that space. And what it says in that space is that there's a difference of opinion in how they should translate this particular part. Now, you'll see in most texts that it says that we should not wait on tables, but in the footnote, you'll see that it says that we should not keep accounts. Now, what we can do as people who are reading this then is look at both of those things, should not wait on tables or should not keep accounts, and realize that more what the disciples were saying is we shouldn't be the ones who are keeping account for this. We shouldn't be the ones who are administrating this. I don't think they were saying we won't help with serving food. I think what they're saying is we need a group of people who are willing to go ahead and manage this so that there's equality in the food distribution, but it can't be us because our role is to work on teaching and leadership. But we need another group of people who are passionate and gifted at this other kind of work to lead this way. Now, one of the great miracles of the early church was that they brought this to the people's attention and they agreed that this was a good plan, that they needed other people. And so they selected 7 men, because it was always men back then. Good thing it isn't today. But they selected 7 men who would then be in charge of all of this. And here's who they picked. They picked Tony and Bruce and Clint and Peter and Scott, Nick and Stephen for the task. Now, do you see any problem with these names? Maybe the keenest or closest observer might realize that these aren't the people that got picked. Rather, these are the Marvel Avengers and some of their friends. So just want to make sure you're paying attention, and this is why sometimes you really should fact check me. But the reality is that's not who got picked. Who got picked were 7 men who were known to be full of the Spirit, who were gifted for this kind of work, and were willing to be a part of this. And the men were as follows. It was Stephen, Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. And these 7 men were commissioned for their work, and they got to work right away. And it says that after they got to work, the community continued to grow quickly and that things were going well. Now, what's beautiful about this particular solution to the problem they were having is it seemed to have work, because what we hear about this afterwards is nothing. The church had other problems, for sure, and we hear about those. But this particular problem was solved because these 7 men said yes to serving in a way that they could, and yes to serving in a way that the community needed them to do so. Now, as important as it was that they solved this particular problem, what is even more important for us to hear and understand is that together they were fulfilling the mission of the church. The mission of the church at that time as they understood it. They were all together bringing their gifts and talents and abilities together and using them to help achieve the mission. We had some people who were teaching, some people who were leading, and other people that were leading this important ministry of food distribution. And because of that, they were able to achieve the mission of the church. And what was true for them is still the same thing that's true for us today. That is, when we all use the gifts and talents and abilities we have to fulfill the mission of the church, we are able to do it. We are able to do what God wants us to do. And when we are willing to serve as God has called us to serve, then we are absolutely able to do the work God has set before us. We can achieve the mission that God has for us. Now, when we think about serving the church, this happens to be a very important thing for us now, but it's always an important thing for us. And I'm wondering if there might be some people out there who are ready to engage in serving in a new way or an enhanced way, because many of us have fallen out of the habit of serving than we might have been in before. Now, let me be clear that there are a group of people who have been so faithfully serving. There's a group of people for whom they have answered the call to serve, and I want you, if that's you, to hear this. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and if you are able, keep doing it. When we talk about serving, this isn't a quest or a question for you to do more, because you are already doing what God wants you to do. If you are one of the people who is overwhelmed by life right now, and there's a bunch of people that could be, it's not limited to, but it does include a lot of parents out there right now. I can think of first responders, the medical community, teachers. I mean, those are just some that come to mind. If you're overwhelmed by life right now, we want you to know that there's an opportunity for you to serve, but it may not be in this moment. The opportunity for you right now that I know God wants is for you to survive this season so you can thrive in the next one. And you're already doing very important work that is really bringing grace to a lot of people. But I do know there are some people who have an opportunity to serve. Maybe you are newly an empty nester and you've got a little more time in your hands. Maybe you have recently retired and you've got some skills and abilities. Maybe it's just simply something that you know that it's time to get back to. And if you're in one of those places, we want you to know there's opportunities for you to serve more and more deeply. Now, when we talk about serving, there's two kinds of roles that many people can play. There's the kinds of roles that I like to say are like the take a turn roles. And then there's kind of like what we are thinking about as leadership roles. Now, these take a turn roles are the kinds of things that are including like greeting and ushers and helping with coffee hour. There's certain next generation ministry responsibilities as well that fit in here. And these are the kinds of things that we really need everybody to just take a turn on. These are kind of like the essential functioning that are simply volunteer opportunities that are there for all of us. Now, we might feel more comfortable with one or another, but it doesn't take a specific skill set to do one of these kinds of things. You might need to be interested or passionate, but simply that's enough. And we want to make sure that every one of us is taking an opportunity to take a turn in these roles. Now, many of you are continuing to do this, and some of you continue to volunteer in these ways, and that is fantastic. And we need to all do this together. Now, but there's also another kind of role that we need to talk about, and these are our leadership roles. These are the service opportunities that come with a quest for people to take them on who are interested in taking their skills and being a blessing. Many of you have really wonderful skill sets in different areas of leadership and administration, finance, whatever it might be. And we need you to use those skills to serve God's mission of the church. We need you to do what you can do because there are things that only you can do or people like you can do. And what happens is when you do use those skills, you help the church. You help the world become a better place. You help us be the best church we can be because you are serving. You are answering the call that God has placed before you. And not only is this what we need and what you need because using our skills is good for us, but also it's good for everybody else because there are so many ways that you can serve that we need you to do so that other people can play the role they need. Now, what happens is if we don't respond and we don't use the gifts we have, and other people will step in and try to do these things, and it won't go as well. I'm one of those people that is prone to saying, well, there's a need, and it needs to happen, or so I tell myself, and I step in to trying to do it. And often, it doesn't go as well as it could if somebody else did it. So the reality is that we need everybody to say, this is the skill that I have, and here's an opportunity to use it. Now, maybe you've said yes to being in one of these positions before. Thank you for doing that. Maybe you said yes like 5 different times and your turn needs to be over. And we bless that and we get that. But I know there are people who are seeing and hearing of opportunities to serve, that they're feeling a nudge that we hope is from the Holy Spirit. And we hope that they will respond to this as well, that they will know that God is calling them to serve and that the church needs them to serve so that we can pursue our mission. Now, doing this is indeed what God wants for us. God wants us to serve. God wants us to understand that this is how we love people. That Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. So we know that this is what God wants for us. But we also know that it's what the world needs from us. The world needs us to fulfill the mission of the church, maybe in a new way like never before. The reality is when we fulfill the mission of the church, you know what happens? Is that people hear something beautiful. They hear that God loves them. Not that God hates them. They hear that God loves them. There's so many ways in which people hear messages of condemnation. But when the church actually does what we're supposed to do, they hear that God loves them. We offer a chance for people to have relationships and be in community with people. And we know relationships and community are scarce these days for many people. And the church is one of the places where people can find a connection that is about wanting something for somebody more than wanting something from somebody. How beautiful is that? The church also provides an opportunity to connect with God through Sunday mornings or whatever worship gatherings. When we fulfill our work together, we offer that to each other and to the community. We also, as the church, when we fulfill our mission, help to create a more just and equitable community for all people. And that's really important because people deserve to have what they need. People deserve to have the chance to live and survive. And when the church does our work, when we actually do it, this happens as well. We also then have an opportunity for us to help the world understand that God's dream for the world can be real. That God's dream for the world is something that actually can happen in this life and not just the one to come. And when we do all these things together, we show the world that God's dream can be reality for them because we've experienced it for ourselves. And those are so many things that we do when we pursue the mission, when we achieve what God wants for us, when we serve in the ways that we can serve. That's why it's important for us to pursue the mission that God has for us. So what I want to ask of you is this. Will you say yes? If you're a follower of Jesus, will you say yes to serving? Will you say yes to taking your turn in a volunteer role where we need to take our turns? Will you say yes to using your skills so that we can together pursue God's mission? I know many of you have said yes, and you have said yes many times. And for that, you can know that God is so grateful. You can know that I'm grateful. But there are people, whether for a new time, a first time, or maybe another important turn, God is asking you to serve, not to perpetuate some institution, but so that we can be God's people, so that we can pursue the mission that God has for us. God wants you to say yes, and we hope you will.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.